1, Ephesians chapter 1. And when you get there, just give me a good amen. And like I said, I do appreciate the church here. It's coming up on close to 8 months that we've been here. It's been, everything's been pleasant. We love you. Feel like we've gotten to know you. And I appreciate we all feel like family. I consider y'all family. And I'm just glad what God's doing. Amen. God's so true and faithful to us all. And we're just excited about all the things God's going to do. Ephesians 1. And when you're there, just say amen. All right. Well, we've been doing some preaching on Pentecost, and you might think, Brother Derek, are you going to do another one? Well, I'm going to kind of touch into the Pentecostal ranks again. We're going to kind of go this road, and because I could preach on it for the next probably 3 or 4 years, and I'm not exaggerating, there's a lot to preach on. You know, you look through the book of Acts, and you read through the New Testament, because the reason Pentecost is so easy to preach on, when I say easy, there's so much information about it, is because it's true. And anytime something's real and true, it's easy to preach on it because God says amen to it. He's put His stamp of approval on it. Well, I've dealt with this on the fullness of the Spirit. I've dealt with this on, last week I preached on the harlot church, the false moving of the Spirit. I preached a few months back on a Christless Pentecost. I preached, my Lord, I started thinking of the different things we went over. But tonight I feel that this is something that this will help us as I preach, teach, however it comes out. In Ephesians 1 and 13, let's read it and you'll know what I'm talking about when I read it. Ephesians 1 and 13, and this is what it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm going to preach to you tonight on being sealed with the Spirit. Being sealed with the Spirit. This is a subject that I'll be honest with you, I've heard people deal with it and touch on it, but very seldom do you hear whole messages preached on being sealed with the Spirit of promise. In dealing with this tonight, in my intro, I just would like to make my desire known to you again that dealing along the lines of Pentecost and our teaching and preaching on it, it's not to make anybody feel lesser or more in the kingdom of God. I just want to make sure that we understand that. What we need to understand today is that everybody underneath the sound of my voice, you are to be seeking for the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. All of us in this room today. That doesn't make anybody better or worse, but we need to understand all of us need to have that hunger and that desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm so adamant about that because I believe that the baptism in the Holy Ghost, not only do I believe, but I know it, that it is critical in the day and the hour in which we live. We need to make sure that we are filled with the Spirit. We've been dealing with that. I like what one old preacher used to say. He said, somebody said, well, you know, they said, do you think you can make it to heaven without the Holy Ghost? He said, I wouldn't want to try to make it to Walmart without the Holy Ghost. You probably heard that. But it's true, everywhere you go, you see iniquity, you see sin. And not only do we see iniquity and sin, but I hope you understand, everywhere you go is pulsating with opportunity to witness. And not only do you need to just look at somebody and say, Jesus lives, but that testimony needs to be alive with inside of you that we can not only tell people about Jesus, but they can see that He's alive today. And what I'm afraid of when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost is that there's been a division that's come into our churches that the early church would have never tolerated nor permitted. And you have the complacency on one end that say, look, I maybe it's because of the way I was raised. You ever heard somebody say that? I don't think I need it because I was raised. No, that doesn't matter. This Bible completely trumps any way any of us were raised. If I was raised in a jungle somewhere, when I have access to a Bible and the gospel, it doesn't matter if I was raised on an island. It doesn't matter if I was raised in America. I am accountable to the knowledge that I have of God's Word. You have some people that say, look, there's a resistance there because I was raised this way. But then there's also another resistance to it because there is just a lack of interest in it. Yes. I've seen a lukewarm spirit come into the Pentecostal ranks with people that have the Holy Ghost, you would never know it. Amen. Then you have some that don't have it, that don't see the need for it. And when I'm not saying that condescending, we've already went over this five times. I don't mean this in a bad way, but we have to make sure, field or not field, that we have to make sure that we are fervent and that we allow the Holy Ghost to move in our lives the way that it should. All of us here today. So moving into this today, when we look here, we understand that when we look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, I'm going to read it to you one more time, just for the sake of understanding the subject, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Here in the book of Ephesians 1 and 13, we look at this word here, this word where it says sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When we look at that word sealed in the Bible, that word there means a seal is a mark, a stamp of ownership, and an identity. It shows you belong to somebody. That's what that seal is. And I could give you many different examples in the Bible. You could take it to where they had Jesus in the tomb. They put that stone in front of it. And if I'm not mistaken, they had the Romans try to seal that, which means when you came up on it, the rock is what was supposed to keep people out. But when they saw that seal of who put it there, there was something that rose up inside of them and said, look, that is what the Roman government is saying, because they recognized it by its seal. Hear me today, friend. Kings would even wear seals on their rings at times. When they would take their ring, they would dip it in wax, and there they would stamp out envelopes and different messages and letters that people would understand, look, this letter is coming to me, and it is identified, it is owned, it has been given us, the order has been given by the king himself. That's what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. I even did some studying and research and came across some information of how interesting, how the temple priest there, they would go out, and when they began to look for sheep, for the lambs for sacrifice, they would go out in certain courtyards there, and they would begin to sift through the different lambs that were there, and when they found the lamb that was perfect and able to be sacrificed, that priest would take a seal, a temple signet, a temple seal, and there they would stamp that lamb, and they would say that this lamb is worthy of sacrifice. He was putting this temple seal on him, stating that this is ours and this is used for the temple. So that's what it means to be sealed with the Spirit. It's when God places His mark on you, God places His identification on you, and the world can look at you and say, you know what? That right there is mine. They can look at the Abundant Life Tabernacle. And wouldn't it be wonderful for the community to recognize that the Abundant Life Tabernacle has the seal of the Holy Ghost on it? That there I can recognize, I identify that that is from heaven, that that is something that God has put a stamp of approval on. We would even find in the Bible, when it comes to the baptism of Jesus Christ, we would understand that we know the story. He comes to the Jordan River, and there we know that John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And all of a sudden we know the story that Jesus there, He's baptized. We know that all of a sudden heavens are ripped asunder, and we know that God says, that is my beloved Son. And all of you are familiar with this. And all of a sudden that dove landed from heaven. It lands on the Son of God. But you'll find something interesting in John 6 and 27. This is what it says. Labor not for meat which perisheth, for that which meat endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. You would understand as you begin to study this, where the Bible says that, where God the Father has sealed, most of your commentators, most of the people would agree in this area, and of course the Calvinists would not agree, I know that, but many people believe that there, even that there when the baptism of Jesus, when the Spirit of God landed upon the Savior there, many people would agree in this, in my studies that I come across, and even talking to some scholarly men, they would say that this is that point in life that God recognized and identified, that is my beloved Son. Yes, He was the Son of God when He was born. Yeah, I know that. Yes, there was shepherds that came. Yes, there was wise men that came, but it still was not that public announcement in which it needed to be made. But that day at the Jordan River, when Jesus goes down into that water, and all of a sudden the heavens opened up, and all of a sudden the Father from heaven says, that is my beloved Son. There was not nobody within distance that saw that could deny, look, that is the Son of God. Heaven just said amen to it. Heaven just testified to it. Jimmy, today, friend, Jesus was already the Son of God when He came to the Jordan River. He was already the Son of God. It did not make Him more or less the Son of God. But when the Spirit of God came and landed upon Him, He was sealed there in front of everybody. It was a public declaration, an announcement that is my Son. Son. Hear me today, friend. With that word seal being a mark and identification, that was the day that God identified to Israel as a whole that that was the Son of God. That was the day that it happened. Hear me today, friend. But what we need again today, my friend, just like Jesus at the Jordan River, when the heavens opened up and they said, and God said, "That is my beloved Son." You know what the church needs once again? We need the heavens to open up, and we need heaven to declare to this world, "That is my body. That is the body of my Son, Jesus Christ." The church needs God once again to make a public announcement over her. Remember, hear me today, my friend. I know we are a holiness church, but as a holiness church, we're not so much identified by a song that we sing. We're not so much identified. Yes, we have a standard. I believe in it to a T. But yes, that's one way of identification. But the greatest form of identification that we can have as a church is when God comes down and places His seal of approval on us, to where the world cannot deny what we are, to where the world cannot deny the power that is here. That when sinners, I feel the Lord here tonight, that when those sinners come through our doors and they sit in our pews, they can't say, "Look, I saw Jesus and this and that," but they can say, "I've seen the Spirit of God moving, and I know that that church there is sealed with the power and the presence of God Almighty." When somebody comes to our church, they should know a difference. Amen. I'm just going to be playing with you. They ought to be able to tell a difference between us and some churches up the road. And I ain't being dogmatic. Yes. Not just, look, I know emotionalism is everywhere. I know that. I know I could get somebody up here and with the ability to play. I've got many friends that are wonderful musicians. I've watched emotionalism work and all that. And I love good musicians. I love good music, my friend. But there's some churches that are known by their music, and God has never put their stamp of approval on them. Hear me today, friend. It's good thing. I love good music. I love all these things. But I have an issue when the Holy Ghost has not placed His seal on things. When the Holy Ghost has not placed His seal on individuals. When the Holy Ghost has not placed His seal on the body, we must understand that no matter how good we sing or how bad we sing, but if the presence of God comes in and seals us and testifies and identifies what we are, that is what's going to make a difference. We need once again to have the world please Father to declare, "That is my children." Let's look at it this way. On the day of Pentecost, that was a day of a public declaration that God was pleased with those men and women in the upper room. Amen? Just like at Jesus' water baptism, there was no denying what took place there on the day of Pentecost. There was no denying that something took place. There was no denying when you had people stumbling out of an upper room or wherever they were. You had different ideas, upper level, with the part of the location they were. No. It didn't have so much to do with the way they were dressed, but they came out and they could recognize something is different about these people. What it was, the Holy Ghost came down. He put His seal upon those disciples. He pretty much said He identified with them. He placed His mark on them. The day of Pentecost was a day of public announcements, and those around knew all about it. When Jesus came, hear me, my friend, when Jesus came at His birth, it was quiet, and many did not know about it. But Pentecost, it was a public cry to the communities. Hear me, my friend, we need that once again, that somebody can say, "My Lord, something's going on there. My Lord, something's happening there, and I cannot deny that it's supernatural, and I cannot deny it's a move of God." Amen. You read about the revivals of Charles Finney. How in the world did they see revivals with bars completely shut down? The theaters up the road shut down. Bartenders were getting converted. There was no way you could deny. You know what it was? The seal of the Spirit was placed upon that. God said, "That is mine." What was the difference between us, my friend, and the world? It's not so much our clothes. You know, thank God for our clothes, but Muslims try to live conservative in some forms, so it's got to be more than that. But the difference between us and all these other religions, the difference between us and this world, is that God has placed His seal upon us, that the Holy Ghost is pleased with what we are doing. I want you to understand that tonight. That's why we preach the Pentecostal experience. That's why we preach the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Because that baptism in the Holy Ghost is when you have really submitted yourself to the place, you have emptied yourself out, and the Spirit of God can come down, and He can fill you, and He can place His mark upon you. You can do His calling. You can do His will. That's why I preach the Pentecostal experience the way that I do. But hear me today, my friend. When we look at the book of Ephesians chapter 1, there's a few different things that we must recognize, and I don't have time to go into detail about all of this. But the first thing I want you to recognize is this. The plan of God in Ephesians chapter 1. The plan of God. Ephesians 1 and 4 says this. According to as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Hear me today. It says, according as He has chosen us in Him. In who? In Jesus Christ. Notice this. Before the foundations of the world. Hear me today. This is amazing. In my studies, I thought this was amazing. That before there was light, before there was creation in the cosmos, before there was light, before there was water, before all these things were put together in the mind of God, before the very foundation, God had a predetermined people in His mind. He knew even before He created us, before He created Adam and Eve, before He created an animal, before He created any of those things, in the mind of God, He said, I'm going to have a people in this world. I'm going to have a set apart people in this world. There's going to be somebody that's going to live. I'm going to gather them. Hear me today, friend. He said, I'm going to have a people before the very foundation of the world. He said, they're going to be holy without blame, but standing before Him in love. You're saved today. And look, I don't preach predestination as the Calvinists do. I know that. But God also ain't somebody don't have a clue what's going on. Amen. If you're saved today, the Holy Ghost came to you. Yes. He tells us there, according as He has chosen us. You didn't choose the Lord. Amen. You didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to serve Jesus. You didn't do that. You woke up one day and the Holy Ghost says, look, there is a better way. And then He began to entice you and touch your heart. And then He chose us before the very... I think that was amazing. Before the foundation of the world, God said, I'm going to have me a holy people. Oh my, isn't that amazing? Before the very foundation of the world, holy without blame before Him in love. Notice that, without blame before Him. Now, it didn't say they're going to be without blame before men. I know men can find things to blame. I know humans can always try to put their finger on something. But He said without blame before Him, He's going to hit His mind before the very foundation. He knew He was going to have an obedient people that loved Him and did His will, innocent and liberated. My Lord, today if you're saved, you're born again. You ought to be excited that from the very foundations of the world, God allowed this to happen. He set this in motion. He wanted you to be here. He wanted you to be saved. And He sent the Spirit of God to deal with us. He wants you to be obedient. He wants you to do His will. That was in the mind of God from the very foundations of the world. But He said holy without blame. Now, I know in this room today, I'm not saying anybody here is perfect. I'm not saying that. I'm sure if you hadn't done it already, you might find something about me you don't like somewhere. But I try my best. I really do. I've told you a million times before, I want you to like me. I try my best with people. I just try my own conscience. I got a conscience here I've got to deal with, and I try to pray and God help me. You'd be surprised how many nights I'm hitting my head on the floor asking God for direction because I just don't know what to do all the time. I cannot say I'm perfect and blameless before every human in this world, but I can say this to today. I know what I feel in my heart. I know what I pray. And I ask God to help lead my feeble hands. Help lead these feeble feet. God, help me do Your will. God, help me hear Your voice. God, help me preach what You want me to preach. I know that I can stand blameless before Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, through the finished work of Calvary and the blood that will cleanse your conscience, your mind, your body, that you can do the will of God. Hear me today, friend. If you need somebody or a church that is not seeking to stand before the Lord in holiness and purity, will not be sealed with the Holy Ghost. When you come, and even when you're seeking for the Holy Ghost, there's going to be some sense of purity about your seeking. Now, I don't know how the Holy Ghost worked with you, but He worked with me in this way. I felt like I had given up everything but my life when I was seeking for the Holy Ghost. I'd walk in a room, a TV was on, I was just like this. I didn't want no influence. I forget how many months that happened. I was just afraid. And not saying that, but just for me. I knew that I didn't even want to read the newspaper. I didn't even care about it. I wanted the Holy Ghost. And look, the Holy Ghost dealt with me on so many things. But even after I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost was still dealing with me on a few things. Amen. I remember a few times after I got the Holy Ghost, you know, you feel like you got somewhere. And then you're doing something and the Holy Ghost will say, look, no, you don't do that. You don't say, this work of sanctification, look, it's a process in itself, I believe, but there's going to be a process that you are seeking to be purified and God will fill you there. But my only question is this today, when we're seeking for the Holy Ghost and we're seeking to be holy and pure, how can we be holy without the Holy Ghost? Amen. Eventually, God's going to fill you. Somewhere along this walk with God, if you're really striving with all of your heart to fulfill the purity and be blameless before the Lord, there's going to come a point in time that Holy Ghost is going to fill you and you're going to find out there's a lot more things you didn't know about. He's going to put His fingers on then. You ever had the heart? I've had Him get quite personal with me. And not only just things the way you do, I'm talking about ways you think. Come on. I'm talking about the way you spend your money. I'm talking about the place that I'm talking about overeating. I've had the Holy Ghost touch on that a few times. No, maybe not. I'm just talking about me. And I know you can't believe that. You're looking at me and can't believe that. But really, there's been many times just in prayer that the Lord has constantly dealt with me and He's going to be dealing with me probably to the day I die. What it is, I'm trying to be that predetermined person that He wants, that holy person in His mind. I want to be without blame when I stand before Him. Hear me, dear friend. If He will do a sealing work, He will also do a sanctifying dealing work your whole entire life. Notice this, what Ephesians 1 and 5 says this, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Having predestined us unto adoption of the children. Notice this, when the Holy Ghost, in Ephesians 1, what Paul's telling us here is that you're not a stranger to God. Aren't you glad to know that? I'm glad God don't put me on the back here on the pew and say, that's my eighth cousin, and treat me like that. You know, you have those at the family reunion, you never knew you were related to them. And all of us got somebody famous somewhere, we think. I've heard somebody say before, I'm related to that guy. I said, really? Yeah, my 15th grandfather's second cousin. You're like, wow. Y'all traced it on down, hadn't you? But here it says, having predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ Himself, we are not strangers. All of us here today, if you're born again, we are children of the Lord. We have that spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We are children. We are brothers. We are sisters. We are sons. We are daughters. And we belong unto Him. I think that's wonderful today. If you're born again today, all of us here, you belong unto the Lord today. You're not a third cousin. You're not down the road. Everybody here today, you have a place in the Lord, and He loves us all the same. There's no social status. He don't look at Brother Derek or Brother Glenn or anybody else and say, I like him over there. No. We are all, if you're born again, we are all children of the Lord Jesus, of God the Father, and brothers and co-inheritors with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Holy Ghost is simply your inheritance. Hey, I'm getting excited about this, and I don't know if you understand me or not. We are children of God here today. And the Holy Ghost, the seal, the identification, the belonging, the being a part of the kingdom, being a subject, this is simply our inheritance. There is no favoritism in this room. Amen. God ain't going to feel this one and say, I don't know. No. And the way God works with you is going to be completely different than the way God worked with me. You parents that have more than one child, you know what I'm talking about. You raise the first one, and sometimes the second one's completely different than the first one. Maybe it won't like that for you, but I can tell the difference the way my mom and dad raised my sister and the way it raised me. But God's perfect and they won't. I got more whippings. She didn't get as many. Amen. They'll tell you that. Three boys and finally got a girl you know good and well. Amen. I used to tell Dad, man, you used to tear me up for doing that. He said, well, she's a sweet little girl. And I think myself. And didn't you know, if you're a grandparent, you know all about that. Amen. I heard one person say, I like grandchildren because it's just like children, but you just ain't got to take them home with you. But all of us here, us as humans, and you may not do it, I know you don't do it on purpose, but sometimes we have tendencies of showing favoritism to different people. God never does that. It is our inheritance. There is no favoritism. There is no rank. We have all equal rights. If you're born again and blood washed, the Holy Ghost is for everybody. It is a gift to you, and it is our inheritance. Oh my, this is exciting. Notice at the end of verse 5, it says this, according to the good pleasure of His will. It's saying God enjoys giving us the kingdom. You know, sometimes we thank God, Lord, how can I get to that notch where you know, Lord, how can I twist, you know, my twist your arm, so to speak, to maybe, and you know, no, God doesn't do that, my friend. It's His good will. He wants to give it to you. That'll help you a million miles. That'll make you feel a lot better when you say, you know what, God, you want me to have it? You know, you ever had somebody say, look, I want to give you a gift, and it's a natural human tendency to say, no. No. But when you come to God, look, you ought to say, look, Lord, I want it. Because I know it will not diminish you. I know when you feel me, it does not diminish your resources. You own it all. You are the omnipotent, powerful God. You're sovereign. You know everything. For the hymn of the day, friend, according to His good pleasure of His will. That's why Luke 12:32 says this, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's a pleasure. At Chick-fil-A, they have to say that. You go through the drive-thru and they say, my pleasure. And I've looked at their face sometimes and I knew they were just saying it out of this. Especially when you're as picky as I am. Extra pickles, no tomato. Yeah. But they say that and sometimes they don't mean it. But when God says, fear not, when Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, there's not one time that God gives you something that He sits there and says, I don't know. No, when God gives you something, it is a pleasure, it is a joy to Him. You say, I'd like to make God happy. I'll tell you the easy route to do it. Get to a place you can receive, and you'll never make God more happy your whole entire life. When you're at that place, that God can say, look, this is what I intended for you. Isn't that amazing? Because there's times in life you have a gift you would like to give somebody, but you just can't because you know that it wouldn't do them no good. But how wonderful is it that when somebody gets to that place that you have enough confidence you can say, look, I can give you this gift and I know it's going to be used. God loves when He can give us a gift. He loves it, my friend. Notice it said, fear not, little flock, for your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You say, well, Brother Derek, what is the kingdom? I'm glad you asked in Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. You can't separate the kingdom away from Jesus and the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. When you pray for the kingdom, you ever pray, Lord, thy kingdom come? His kingdom did come. Amen. His kingdom's come. And you can't separate it from the Holy Ghost. You can't separate it from the work, finished work of Calvary. You cannot separate that. Verse 7 says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You said, Brother Derek, how can I stand blameless before the Lord? It just told us there. That's how we're going to behold Him without blame. It's through the redemption of the blood of Jesus. You said, look, I'm seeking for the Holy Ghost. How do I get blameless that I can get filled? It's simple, my friend. Make sure you're blood bought and listen to the voice of God. It's that simple. If you come to this altar today and you really get good and born again and you give it all to God, you're a candidate. Amen. Now, that's not saying God's going to leave you that way. God's still going to work on you. But I've seen people get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost in the same night. Went back into an atmosphere that was hostile. I've recently listened to a testimony. My Lord, it stirred my heart. Darren Downs, he's a missionary overseas to a Muslim country. And there he had a few weeks with a bunch of teenage young boys. And he knew that when he dismissed that class there, he knew when that little revival was over, all of those young teenage boys were going to go back to cities where people are being killed for the gospel every single day. He said, I'd get down to pray and say, God, what do I say? He said, I'll fill your mouth and I'm going to fill them. And he said, they won't be afraid to go home. Now look, they came there. No doubt there was something probably some folks in holiness could probably say, I disagree with. But he said before the end of that week of lessons, he said they came to him with tears down their face. Many of them had been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost during that week. And they said, we're not afraid to die when we go home. We will preach this gospel to the day that we die. What did that? It was the seal of the Holy Ghost. God placed His identification on them. And it wasn't just this or that, but it was something deep and something real. It was something that God opened up the heavens and said, I agree with those young boys and what they're doing. I'm not looking for the acceptance of anybody but the Lord. I wish we'd get back to that. I've been in prayer meetings where certain preachers were, and I would hear certain preachers pray louder so somebody else would... No. If I come to a prayer meeting, you don't hear me say anything, won't you cry out to your Savior? Don't you wait on anybody. We've got to understand, let's learn to pray and seek God for that acceptance. It's in whom we have redemption. That word redemption, there is one that has that word that is used when somebody is brought back from the slave market. Like the story of Hosea and Gomer. We know that Hosea went to that market there. Gomer went down and prostituted herself. She was there among the slaves. And it said Gomer came and redeemed her. That word says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. That's the same thing Jesus did for you. He came to the slave market of sin where sin had enslaved you. And there He paid a price through His blood that He has shed for us. That's what it means to be redeemed. So let's get to this. This is the plan of God. Before the foundations of the world, God is here. Think about it. Before He's created anything, He's saying, I'm going to have a people. And then we read on there that later on, I just read the verse of Scripture to you. Where He's saying this, but I'm going to redeem that people. He knew. God knows all these things from the very foundation. He had a plan. There is no curveball. God knew that He's going to gather them. He's going to redeem them. And once again, we must understand that we are redeemed and we're not of this world. And we should reflect this glory that the seal of God can rest upon us. And I'm going to move along here. Ephesians 1 and 10 says this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and that which are on earth, even in Him. I'm working to my text and it ain't but 7:10. He ain't been in church but an hour and 10 minutes. Oh yeah. And I've got to get to verse 13 and a little further. But notice here it says this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ. That word dispensation there means administration. It's the idea of a man that is managing a household. You may think, hear me today, my friend. You may think in your mind that all the things that are happening in the world, some people think that the government's managing everything. You know, the United Nations really has got a hold on things. They're really managing this. The Illuminati. Whoever you think it is, I mean, secret societies, governments, kings, presidents, you know, they're managing all these different things. But the Bible says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ. You may think it's the government, United Nations, whatever it is, but God has a complete, He has a complete administration over everything. And the beautiful thing is, God's not trying to make money or build an earthly kingdom. When God administers and makes decisions, it's to gather that body together. It is to seal those unto redemption. He's not trying to make money or establish some earthly system. He's gathering one in all things, and the verse says, in Christ. If it is in heaven or in earth, He is establishing us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, there was a time when this world was in harmony with God until sin, but there's a coming another time that Jesus Christ is doing it right now, but there's a restoration through the Spirit of God that He's going to restore humanity. He's going to put things back in order. He's going to get things back like it's going to be. And the church to Him today, friend. And that is what God's trying to do in your life through the seal of the Spirit. He's trying to put things back in order. Once again, you need to be able to hold your head up in this world and say, look, I am a son of God. And I'm not just saying that because of this or that. I'm saying that because I'm sealed with the Spirit. Oh, my, I've got more preaching. We got time here. That was just point one, the plan of God. Second point in this, and we'll breeze through this, is the praise of God. Ephesians 1 and 6. To the praise and the glory of His grace, where He has made us accepted in the beloved. You'll find it in Ephesians 1 and 12 that we should be the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. So three times there in Ephesians 1, it talks about the praise unto the glory of God. So we have an all, get this in your mind, we have an almighty God. God, that before He created the ordering cosmos, before He created anything, already in His mind He had a people, He had a plan, and He had a praise. This was already in the mind of God before there was Adam and Eve. God already determined His mind, somebody's going to praise me, even if it's the rocks that's going to cry out. God had this in His mind already. Hear me today, friend. When it is all said and done, and the victorious Lamb is on His throne at the very end of everything, there will be no praise of human talent or ability of man's success. All glory will be given to God because it's been His planning, it's been His Son, it was His blood, it was His Holy Ghost, it was His church, it was His body. He'll get all the praise. Amen. You ain't going to get to heaven and pat yourself on the back. That's why I try to encourage, and all preachers should encourage, be submissive to the Holy Ghost. Because He is the end. It's going to get all the praise. It's not going to be my accolades. It's not going to be nothing to do with me. Hear me today, friend. Let us move on into the promise, because I've got to move along. We come to Ephesians 1 and 13. It's our text tonight. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Notice that. After you believed. That's why it does me no good to come up here and tell you, seek for the Holy Ghost if you're not really convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. And I'm not just talking about verbally. Lord, you ever heard the saying, talk is cheap? It's true. But if you really believe He is the Son of God, you really believe, you're convinced of that, after you believed, it says, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And it goes with complete pattern of Acts chapter 19, where Paul comes to Ephesus, and I'm not going to go there because it takes time. He comes there, and the disciples there, he said, have you received the what? Holy Ghost since you believed? He said, look, I can tell y'all believe. Have you received the Holy Ghost? And they looked back at him and said, I never heard tell of such. And you know what happened? The Bible says they believed, they were baptized, and Paul laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The reason, and I'm not saying here, but the reason I feel like there's been so little fillings on the evangelistic field, it's hard to find people that really believe it. I'm just telling you the facts. I mean, really believe it. To the place that they're willing to do whatever it takes. You know, when you really believe something, you're convinced of something, there's no sacrifice really that's too big. There's no sacrifice too small. Because, you know, you find a man that really believes he knows where buried treasure is. Good luck stopping him if he really believes it and wants it. Same thing, it says, after they believed, they were baptized. You'll find, I encourage you, read Acts 19 and watch the pattern. Hey, I like what Paul simply did. He just simply laid hands on them. Amen. It wasn't cheerleaded. It wasn't propped up. You ain't believe this. We ain't heard about it. And they got filled with the Holy Ghost real soon in that very, in those chapters that we read about. They believed and then they laid hands on, they were filled. Notice that this calls us the Holy Spirit of promise. We must understand that just as much as God promised us a Redeemer, He promised us a Spirit. As much as He promised us the Son to those who accept the Son, there's another promise that I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh. Just as much as you believe in Jesus and in His crucifixion, you need to believe in the Holy Ghost and His baptism. Is your faith in the baptism the same as it is in Calvary? Now, yes, there's an order. Don't try to jump over Calvary and go to Pentecost. Start at Calvary and work your way to Pentecost. It's real. Do you believe it? I'm asking you. Answer the question yourself. We look at this, because instantly, this is something that really has amazed my mind. If all of a sudden I mounted this pulpit tonight and I told you, look, I'm doing away with water baptism. We're not going to do it no more. It's false doctrine. You would leave here and say, Brother Derek, we've got to do something. Because the Bible tells us you're to get baptized. The best is there. Jesus was baptized. Cornelius was baptized. The apostles, all these different baptized. But the Lord said this when he went to heaven. You would write me off as a heretic if I said, no, we're going to do away with water baptism. I wish we had the same zeal about Holy Ghost baptism. Oh, yes. I wish once again that you would look and say, my Lord, they don't believe the Holy Ghost baptism? That's a heretic. Think about this. I'm serious. And all of a sudden, somebody across the street said, look, we're doing away with water baptism. We'd say, look, false doctrine, you're wrong. But why don't we act like that about Spirit baptism? Amen. That's all right. I know what God's saying in His Word. I know what God says in His Word. So we understand this day. It's the Holy Spirit of promise. The seal comes to people who are seeking for the promise. He is not content with just having His Son among us, but He wants us to be filled with the Spirit of His Son. The Spirit will reunite us with God. It is that seal. It is that stamp of approval. And I'm going to move along. My last point here is this. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, it says this, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Oh my, I got so excited about reading about this. You know what the earnest of the Spirit is? The earnest of the Spirit, that word means a pledge, part of a purchase, money or property given in advance as a security for the rest. An earnest is like collateral. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is a deposit that's given in advance to what's going to be in heaven. Amen. You ever heard from glory to glory? Amen. You can experience some of heaven right now. You think you have peace now. You wait. We those of us that are seeking and we're walking and we're seeking to be filled with the Spirit and have the Spirit. You think you have peace right now. It's just a small taste of what you're going to get up there. Amen. We pickle Sister Reese in Costco because she goes in and get them samples. They woo you right in, don't they, sis? Say, man, that was good. But do you know that's something like the Holy Ghost tries to do? You think you got peace now. He'll say, look, there's another peace that if you hold on, if you endure through the trial, if you overcome this world, there's a peace up there that you'll never understand. Hey, but do you think you got joy now? Amen. You're really going to have joy then. And the Holy Ghost will let you know that. You think you love the Lord now? You wait till you see Him face to face and everything is opened up to you. You just wait until you get there. But the Holy Ghost, He is the earnest of the Spirit, which means He is somebody that motivates us and entices us to hold on until we get up there. Oh my. Good luck trying to get somebody that's Holy Ghost filled and have the earnestness of the Spirit inside. Good luck trying to get them to be quiet. I've heard somebody say, you too loud. I say, well, you don't know what's going on here. I'm serious about that. Tell somebody not to worship that's full of the Holy Ghost. Who are you kidding? How can you not worship when it's inside of you? How can you not sing the songs of Zion when you've got the earnest of the Spirit inside of you? How can you not raise your hands when the earnest of the Spirit is inside of you? How can you not read and pray when the earnest of the Spirit is inside of you? That's what the problem is. Some people have never received that heavenly deposit. Well, I was raised this way. I'm sorry. I was raised this way, and there was a lot of things you had to run through, and I had things I faced in childhood. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I got a sample. Oh, God, I feel the Lord here. I got a sample of it, brothers and sisters. And it's something that's inside of me that makes me want to say amen. It's something that's inside of me that makes me hold on through mind battles. It's something that's inside of me that'll help me keep walking holy. It's something that's inside of me that'll make me apologize to my brother and sister. It's something that's inside of me that I've just got to raise my hands, sing a song. What is it? It is the down payment and the earnestness of the Spirit of God. This is just what the Bible says. I'm sorry. It's there. It's there. It's the earnestness of the Spirit. This is just a down payment, my friend. It's just a payment. This is just a taste. How can some think we should just be quieter? Just look at somebody that has that seal or that approval, that identification, and say they're too loud or emotional. It's not emotion, my friend. It's something when it's the earnestness of the Spirit inside of you. If you can have divinity touch humanity and you can sit still, that's up to you. If you're strong enough to contain it, I'm glad you are. But it's something to think about, a heavenly deposit inside of us. That when you're sitting there, you say, oh God, I know you're kind. Look, I get to go up there, Lord. Oh Lord, that song's about your blood, Lord. I love the voice inside of me, Jesus. Oh, that song's about heaven. Lord, I know you testified that it's real to me. Oh, that's about the word of the Lord. You told me that word is from you. It's inside of you. If you just got it on the outside, you're dead. Yes. If it's just theology, then my Lord, theology can put you right to sleep. I don't know if it's ever done. I love to study now. You won't find somebody I like. I can read some books. Sometimes I'm listening to some teaching. My wife says, what is that? Monotone and subjects most people wouldn't care about. But listen, when it's on the inside of you, it's real. And you ain't got to look. I know some people that don't have the college degree. My old pastor, I'll tell you, hey, what's the word, dyslexic? I believe he is. And Brother Evan will tell you, he said, man, I have trouble reading sometimes. He'll get up to reading, but you won't find a man, that any other man that don't have it on the inside of him. I'm telling you, it's in there. He may not be the man. He'll tell you, look, I was just a mechanic when I got born again. I didn't have the... He said, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I'll tell you one thing, my friend, it's on the inside. I'd rather have 50 people that have it on the inside than 1,000 that don't have nothing. Yes. People say, I'd rather have quantity. I'd rather have quality. I'd rather have... Everybody in this room right here would get so full of the Holy Ghost, including all of us, from the pulpit to the pew. If all of us would get so full of the Holy Ghost, you know what the Holy Ghost would do? He would put His seal on this building. He would put His seal on this church. And this community would have to say, something's inside of them. That's what the seal of the Holy Spirit is. As you stand to your feet today, I hope you understand what I'm saying. And like I said, I haven't preached anything to discouraged, but I'm trying to tell you what the Holy Ghost has just relayed to me. He's wanting to put His seal not only on individuals, He's wanting to put His seal on this church. He's wanting, just like Jesus at the Jordan River, He's wanting to open up the heavens and say, that is the body of Christ, my beloved. You can tell you what's going to separate the wheat and tares, and we talked about some this morning. When that rapture takes place, and you can have your opinion, everybody's got their own opinion on things. But when that rapture takes place, He's not going to look for somebody that's not looking for Him. Somebody that's dead. Somebody that has no relationship, no intimacy. I'm a firm believer when that rapture takes place, that bride is going to be in love. And do you know what the Holy Ghost is trying to do in these last days? He's trying to entice us to open the door and to let Him in. As I said, we're all children. We all are. Hey, we're not here to say, look, I'm right and you're wrong. I'm here to say, look, God predestined this. He said He was going to have a people. He said He was going to gather them. But He also wanted to put His seal upon those people. I've recently read the statistics. It was a Barna Group statistics. So I'm going to let you pray. Barna Group does biblical studies, and you can go to the website. A lot of interesting studies up there. But in the study, they were dealing with people who do not believe in the Holy Ghost as a deciding, moving, dealing, living factor and person in the church. This is what the survey said. Most Christians do not believe that the Holy Ghost is a living force either. And they were talking about some other things. Overall, 38% did not even believe. And the ones they interviewed, 38% did not even believe that the person of the Holy Ghost was real. And they also denied the existence of Satan, that same group. It said 20% was just unsure that the Holy Ghost is a symbol of God's power and presence, but it's not a living entity. Only, it said here, just 1/3 of the Christians they interviewed strongly agreed that the Holy Ghost was a real, personal person and was needed in everyday life. Now you think about that. And we are a Pentecostal church. I believe in it. Believe in it enough that I wouldn't be here. That's how much I believe in it. I believe in it that much. And we must understand today that the belief in the Holy Ghost in the Pentecostal ranks has been so raped and abused, the thought of it, and the theology of it, the abuse of it. And when I say the abuse of it, even in the holiness rank, I've seen it abused. We've got to make sure that we're praying for the... we've been agreeing to pray, all of us, that we're praying and asking God for His fullness. Won't you read Ephesians 1 and say, God, You predestined this. He's wanting to fill us. He's wanting us to make us what we need to be. But it's only going to come through the Holy Ghost. I was telling Brother Glenn the other day something C.T. Studd said on the mission field. He said, my Lord, it's not hard to get them saved. But my Lord, it's hard to get them led by the Spirit. Conversions, you hear about them all the time. But my God, who would say, Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done? Who would say that with me today? If you say that, you cannot reject the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost testifies and brings and deposits the kingdom inside of you. Amen. How to make you excited. How to make you happy. But what we're going to do today, we're the home folk here tonight. And what I want to do is, we've already made this our minds up. And please, I don't want anybody to feel, I'm not singling it, I'm saying. We need to seek for that baptism. If you feel or not feel, seek for the fullness of God's Spirit. But I want to be sealed with the Spirit. Amen? I want God to put His signet upon me. I want the world to be able to identify that right there is a child of God. And it's more than just His clothes. There's something coming out of Him. Amen? And what we could do today, if you would, empty those pews. Let's find us a place to pray. I don't know how else to do it. I just feel like if we come down here and pray individually, every man and woman, pray for yourself. Pray out of urgency and earnesty. Ask God, Lord, give me that heavenly deposit. Right now, empty the pews. Find you a place to pray. Let God help you tonight and just seek for the presence of God to fill you, to move in a mighty way, and that God would help us tonight. I want everybody to pray. Just ask God, Lord, help us. Move in a mighty way, dear Jesus.